the first couple of weeks we started, you know, it really wasn't my intent to turn and talk about grace, but I could tell by the second week, third week, whenever we hit grace, I could tell that I just needed to drive a stake down, and I really felt like the Holy Spirit just wanted me to kind of plow this up. So let me just ask this. How many of you have been absolutely blessed by it? How many of you, has it changed the way you think about it? It should. It should, actually. Between services, I was actually talking to some folks, and just, you know, this message really should change the way you view God, the way you view yourself, the way you view grace. I mean, it really should. And actually, without it, I don't think the gospel makes a lot of sense sometimes, because you got all these contradictions. But once you just say it the way the Bible says it and then live it that way, I'll tell you, it makes total sense. And it absolutely sets you free and allows you to live in liberty between you and the Lord. Amen? That's my goal. That's my goal. Well, today we're going to do like I have the last several weeks. We're going to take just a few minutes and recap where we've been. And then I'm going to take, in right in the middle of it, we're going to take and add a new element, and then I want to show you through an illustration of what I believe the whole purpose of this series is about. So with that being said, let's just get into our recap real quick here. We know this, that grace is not a covering for what? Rebellious activity or willful disobedience. How many of you know that? In other words, it's not like I'm under grace, so therefore I can act a fool. Right? No, grace actually, get this, grace actually empowers you to live for God, not to live in that crazy. Amen? We talked about it, man. We talked about it. Grace is not God going light on sin. We know that you and me, we were all sinners, and Jesus died 2,000 years ago on a cross for our sin. And he, how many of you know, he suffered. He absolutely suffered. And because of that suffering, we can stand here today and say, we are free from our sin, praise God. And we're so thankful for what he did by laying his life down for our sin. Now, last one is, grace is not an excuse for our behaviors or bad thinking or any of those things. Grace actually should free you to live for God, not live contrary to the word of God, all right? So now, what is grace by definition? We talked about it. It is unearned what? Unmerited favor. Here's the deal. You can get God's favor in your life one of two ways. That's it. There's only two ways to get God's favor in your life. Number one, you can get favor in your life by you keeping all the law. There's over 600 commandments, 10 major ones that most people think of. But how many of you know if you wear a t-shirt made of two different types of material, you broke the law? I mean, we could get that tight with the thing, man. I mean, it just puts a chokehold on your living. When you try and please God through the keeping of the commandments or laws, you will always fall short. Always, because the purpose of the law never was to make one righteous in the eyes of God. The purpose of the law was to prove that you are guilty before God and you need a Savior named Jesus. Amen? Amen. You need that. Now, so you can't get there by keeping of the law, but you can have God's unearned, unmerited favor by believing on what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And that's why we've been saying all through this series, we believe in what he did 2,000 years ago. That is the key. We believe, therefore our belief makes us right or righteous in the eyes of God. Not that we're righteous, it's we are made righteous. We're not righteous, we're made righteous. So let me ask you this morning. Are you righteous in the eyes of God? How'd you get there? I believe what he did. That's your answer every time. Your faith makes you righteous in the eyes of God, all right? Now, practical definition of grace is this. God's life, God's power, and God's righteousness coming to you as a gift. God's life. Do you realize you have life on the inside of you? You have life. He who has the Son has life, John 3:36. He who has the Son has life, Zoe, on the inside of you. You have life on the inside of you. God made you to live life with life. Did y'all get that? He said you're to have life with life, Jesus being the center of that. You have life as a free gift. You've been given life. And I'm not talking about existing. I'm talking about Zoe redeemed life. Life free from the penalty of sin life. That's what God has died for you to have. You have life. It is not given to you because you're perfect. It's given to you because you believe what? Jesus did. Are you all worn out with it or what? I mean, everybody, Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Are you thinking about the cookout? I mean, come on, how many of you are having a cookout? I'm looking for a place to go today. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, here's the deal. You have God's life because it's a free gift. You have God's power as a free gift. God's grace, power. How many of y'all got power in your life? You do. Listen, here's the reality. There's an entire book dedicated to you having the power of God apart from your works. The book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is all about they believed they had to work or keep the law to get God's power in their life. And the Bible is very clear. The Apostle Paul wrote, he goes, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you would believe a lie by not obeying the truth? Did you receive the Spirit of God by the working or keeping of the law? Or did you get it by the keeping of faith, in the hearing of faith?" It's by the hearing of faith. You have power. How do you tap into that power? You believe what he did 2,000 years ago. It's the same way. You're made, get this, you've been given life because what you believe he did 2,000 years ago. You're given power, not because, well, I just got to pray more for God's power. No, you don't. Now you're in the law. Now you're, God's power is now based upon you doing it. How many of you know you can never measure up? Quit trying. Just believe and receive. Just believe and receive. How about this? You've been made righteous, not because you're righteous, but because the free gift of righteousness coming to you as a free gift. I was listening to the radio actually on my way in this morning. And now before I go there, let me just say this. I was Catholic as a kid. I'm still Catholic. It's like the mafia. You never get out. It's just I'm bad. Bad Catholic now, but I love Catholic people, and I believe you can be going to heaven and be Catholic, all right? And I love Catholic people. Please don't, my family's Catholic. I get it. I'm not against the Catholic Church. I don't believe it's the Antichrist religion. I don't believe the Pope is the false prophet. I don't believe any of that, all right? So did y'all hear what I just said? All right, now in light of that, let me just say this. On the way into town this morning, as we were listening to the radio, they're having a ceremony today. How many of you heard about it? Mother Teresa is actually being ordained a saint within the Catholic Church. Well, I'm glad she's joining the rest of us after all that time, you know? I'm just saying, because we got there when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Yeah, praise God. And we didn't have to do three miracles and then someone vote on it either. You became a saint when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're either a saint or a sinner on this planet. And if you isn't a sinner because you accepted Christ, then you is a saint, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. Yeah, see, you got it by a free gift. You became a saint as a free gift. It isn't because you did it. It's because God did it. Yes. Amen. Again, I love y'all Catholics. I love y'all. Please don't feel the love. Please feel the love. All right? Listen to this. Under the old covenant, obedience was the key word. You had to obey to get God's blessing. Under the new covenant, you believe by faith is the key word. Faith is the key word. I'm still in the recap. I'll tell you when I start my message. My message, listen, time for my message starts when I say, like, my message starts now. All this doesn't even count. All right? Look at this. Old Testament, God required, remember? You have to. New Testament, God provides. I was trying to think of an illustration to kind of show this, and I've struggled until this last week with one. Now, I will tell you this. It may be a little too early for tornado jokes to some of you, so forgive me if this is too early, but I thought of it as a great illustration of what I'm trying to say about God providing versus you doing it. Just think about it if you wanted an in-ground pool in your backyard. If you wanted an in-ground pool in your backyard, you would have to go out and you'd have to dig the hole. After you dig the hole, you'd have to go buy the pool. You'd have to put it in the ground. Then you'd have to fill it up with water. And then you'd have to put chemicals in it. And then after a long process, you would have a pool and then you could go jump in the pool, right? Or an F3 tornado comes in, twists a hole in your yard, picks up the neighbor's pool, flies it over into your yard, into the hole, right? The other neighbor had pool chemicals. It flies over and dumps them in there. Oh, come on. It takes faith to see this, all right? It takes faith. It's long. It's stretching, but it's there, all right? And then it pours it. And then there's a lounge chair that flops in that thing. And then you walk out of your house and you go, look, God provided. And you get in a lounge chair. Now, which one would you rather have? I would rather have God providing. I know it's a stretch, but just hear me. God provides under the new covenant. God requires under the old covenant. How many of y'all get the illustration? As sick as it might be, you got it. You got it. All right. And again, it may be early for some of y'all. But anyway, all right. So listen to this. Under law, God requires. Under grace, God provides. Absolutely. Now, I'm getting ready to start my message. You guys ready? All right, here we go. So this is John 1:14, and the word, everybody say word. Word. No, you gotta say word. All right, anyway. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word in John 1:1 is Jesus. Everybody see that? Okay, so let me say it this way. Before Jesus got to the earth, he was already in heaven. Second part of the Godhead. He was in heaven. And his name was not Jesus. His name was the Word. He is the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. Let me show you. And the Word became flesh, born of a virgin, Mary. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. This is why the religious people had a problem with Jesus. He came full of grace and truth. He was not just truth. He was grace mixed with truth. He was grace and truth. This is why the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, the truth was she was under the law and should have been stoned. Yes. But grace says, I forgive you before you even started it. I forgive you. I forgive you. So let me ask you a question. How does God see you and how do you see you? That's what my message is. That's what I'm after. See, because here's the truth. You ready? Everybody look at me and check this out. If you've been here the last 5 or 6 weeks, you know we've been talking about grace and you being forgiven, you being free from your sin. All of those are washed away. Blah, 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 blah. Those do you no good if it doesn't transform the way you think about yourself and about the way you think about God. It does you no good. It has to, listen to this, it has to get into us how we see ourselves and how God sees us. If it doesn't transform those two things, grace has no power in our life. Because the purpose of grace is to transform the way we see ourselves and the way we see God. So, I was struggling with, how can I explain this to you? And I come up with something perfect, I think, that will illustrate it to you better than anything else I could come up with. All right? Now, here's what I got. I got two trash cans. All right? I got one that represents your old nature and one that represents your new nature. All right? Now, here's the deal. Here's how we are before Christ. All right? And now, listen. I'm going to be honest with you. When I did this, I randomly picked where the holes would be, all right? I couldn't believe it. Last night, I got up here. I'm like, that's better. Just bear with me, all right? Some of you, I done threw your spirituality off, but just bear with me. And some of you inevitably will go home going, I didn't get the holes deal. All right. Listen to this. Just hear me on this. Hear me on this. Here's the way we see ourselves before we're born again. We have issues. We have these issues. We have things that we struggle with, things that we battle with, things that are inadequacies, things that we know are not right, problems that we have, issues that we have. How many of y'all know what I'm saying? We have sin. We have sin. Bottom line, we have sin. Whether it's the noun or the verb, whether we were born with it or whether we did it, we have them, regardless. Jesus came to destroy it. Now, the problem is, since we grew up with it and we grew in it, we assume this is how God sees us. So God sees all my failures, all my inadequacies, all my problems. And then what religion does is oftentimes make it worse. Say, how is that? Religion says you have all these holes and all these problems, and you need to fix these. You need to fix them. Because see, you can't get to God unless you fix these holes. And so the focus then is not only your problems, your holes, but it's you trying to fix them and repair them. And I'll be honest with you, it works about as good as me putting my hands over these holes and trying to keep water out of it. It isn't going to work. Because watch this, the question is, I gotta worry about my sin. I gotta worry about what I did. I gotta worry about me. I gotta worry about what I'm doing. I gotta worry about this. I gotta worry about that. How many of you know you can't grow a relationship with God if you're focused on your holes? Can't do it. So what God does is God says, I tell you what, when you accept me as Lord and Savior, here's what I'm gonna do. It isn't that God totally wipes this away, because I promise you, if we allow you to go so long, you'll manifest this. Here's what happens. When you ask Jesus Christ.
See, you guys are sweating. You guys are like, Lord Jesus, help him.
Here's what happens. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you're in Christ. You're in Christ. Now, those of you watching by or listening by radio, you have no idea what I'm doing. I'm in a trash can, believe it or not. You have to come and see or check us out on the web at alckokomo.com. But here's the truth. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're no longer in the world. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. Now, get this. You still have issues. You still have problems. You still have the same things you struggled with before. Except now, watch this, God has now clothed you in Christ, and so therefore God doesn't deal with you based upon this, he deals with you based upon this. Make sense? Now watch, I can still see my issues. I'm still very aware of my issues. And most people think God is dealing with me based upon me seeing my issues. Can I tell you, God is not dealing with you based upon him seeing your issues. God is dealing with you based upon how he sees you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Say, Pastor Charlie, what's the power of that? Well, not only does it change the way God sees you, it should change the way you see yourself. Because even though I have issues, I know I'm in Christ, so Christ covers my issues on the inside. So even though I may have struggles and I may have things and I may struggle with things, I know this, God is not done with me yet. He's working on that issue. Jesus is covering that issue. God has forgiven me of that issue, and I can walk free in him because I'm in Christ and I'm made whole, praise God. Amen? This is why I'm telling you, you are complete in him. You are forgiven in him. He sees you in Christ. He sees you whole. He sees you made whole. He sees you healed. He sees you delivered. He sees you prosperous. He sees you completely covered in his grace and in his mercy. And you don't have to worry about your efforts about it no more. Amen? Amen. Now let me try and get out of this thing. Because if I have to preach that and the iPad, I'm going to fall over. So let me ask you, What's your perspective of yourself? Is it more about focused on your holes and the problems that you have? Or is it you focus on you being complete in Christ? Now watch what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take some verses that we've had over the last several weeks, and I'm gonna show you how to compare yourself and how to focus yourself on who you are in Christ instead of who you are in your sin nature. You ready? Let me show it to you this way. Look at this. You have a new covenant. Do you believe that today? You have a new covenant. Remember that new covenant? It says this. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us that after he had said this before, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. Watch this. And in their minds, I will write them. Look at this. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. You know what he's saying? I refuse to look at them any other way than complete and whole in Christ. They're complete. They're whole. They're washed. They're free. They've been set free. I've freed them. This is how I see them. I can bless them, not because they're good. They're not. I can bless them because they have the free gift that they believe Jesus gave them 2,000 years ago. So therefore, I deal with them complete and whole. So when I pray, I'm praying in a place of wholeness. When I'm believing for something, I'm believing in a place of wholeness. I'm not broken. I'm not beat down. I'm not worn out. I don't have no faith. No, I have faith. Not because I'm good, but because I'm whole. And I'm whole in Christ. How dare you say that? I didn't say it. God said it about me. It's the only religion in the world that teaches this right here. Only religion in the world. Only religion in the world. Every other religion in the world, the focus is you. Only Christianity says, it ain't even about you. All you got to do is believe on him. Right. I had people several times during this series go, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. It is that simple as a trash can with holes in it. It's that simple. Your sins and your lawless deeds, he will remember no more. What's that mean? You have the gift of forgiveness of sins. You have it. You are completely washed. You are completely forgiven. How many of you heard that great worship song by Norman Greenbaum? Somebody laugh because they know who Norman Greenbaum is. Come on. Won't you take me up to the spirit in the sky? That's where I'm gonna go when I die. When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best, right? Don't act like you don't know it. Come on. Be like, no, this is church. We're sanctified. We're holy. Listen to this. I never been a sinner. I never sin because I have a in Jesus. Those people are smoking dope and have a better revelation have a better revelation than most Christians that they are forgiven. I don't know if they were high when they wrote it, but it sounds kind of like come on, you might know what I'm saying. I'm serious. They understand. Listen to it. I've never been a sinner. This hit me yesterday in the shower. I've never been a sinner at all. If you ever notice anything, it's in the shower a lot. I do shower a lot, but I don't shower that much. It's just the place where I relax. You get it. I need to shut up and move on. But listen to this. True story. As I was thinking about that song, I thought, you know what? They really do have a better understanding than most Christians do. And that's such a shame. I've never been a sinner. I've never sinned. Why? Because I'm perfect? No. I have a friend in Jesus. Right? That's exactly what he was saying. That's exactly what he was talking about. I don't know if he hit it by accident or if the Holy Spirit gave it to him or they saw it in a cloud.
I don't know. Whatever. Cheech and Chong. I don't know. But here's what I do know. It happens to be more accurate than what most people believe about their sins. It is accurate. You are not a sinner. How many of you know you are not a sinner? You are righteous in the eyes of God, not because you're good, but because you believe on him and what he did. Man, that'll free you. It will absolutely free you. Absolutely. Some of you will be singing that song the rest of the day. Look at this. Here we go. So now, is the Lord convicting us? Come on, you know the truth. Remember, this is the verse that people use to say the Lord convicts us. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Well, see, Pastor Charlie, the Holy Spirit's been given to us to convict us of our sin. No, he hasn't. Why? Look at the next verse. The context is everything. Of sin because they do not what? Believe in him. They do not believe in him. Do you believe on him? Then the Holy Spirit's not convicting you of that. He's not convicting you of anything. Why? It seems so silly to me. And even after I got saved, I struggled with it. Because I would hear people say, well, the Lord's forgiven you. Okay, but the Lord, and then you'd hear somebody else say, well, the Lord convicted me of that. Okay, now which is it? Which is it? Either the Holy Spirit forgave me or he didn't. And if the Lord forgave me, then why is the Holy Spirit convicting me of it? Doesn't make any sense. But when you translate it and read it the way it says it, it makes total sense. The Lord convicts those who don't believe. Now watch the next verse. We talked about this. Of righteousness. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. How do we know we're made righteous? Because we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, who died for us 2,000 years ago and tells the Father, they are righteous in my eyes, and I see them as completely justified and completely righteous. Because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Look at this next part. He says, and obviously of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So let me ask you again, does the Lord convict you? No, here's the reality. Sin is completely destroyed over your life. Yes. Completely. That's why you shouldn't do it. That's why you don't have to do it. Because he destroyed it. See, watch this. Got to keep the commandments so that you don't sin. Really, by focusing on that, it causes you to sin more because you become more sin conscious. Fall in love with Jesus. Have a relationship with Jesus. Forget about your sin. Forget about your sin for now. Fall in love with Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come into your heart. He will transform your heart. He'll put his law in your mind. He will change it. And after he changes it, you're never going back to it. Because he did the work. And it's not based upon your efforts. It's based upon what he can do. You are limited. He is unlimited. Come on, amen. Believe that. Believe it. See, you are free completely from your sin. What about repentance, Pastor Charlie? Shouldn't I repent? Shouldn't I repent? Now remember, old covenant, you repented from sin. New covenant, repentance towards God. Repentance towards life. The only time you see it in the New Testament is always towards. In the Old Testament, from. You're going to repent from. Say, Pastor Charlie, but don't you repent? Don't you confess your sins before the Lord? Honestly, sometimes. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But let's just be real. I'm not worried. First of all, I don't talk like this, but let's say I'm driving down the road and a semi truck's about to hit me and I cuss. Not that I would, but if I did, well, am I going to go to hell? No. Why? I'm washed, I'm free, I'm cleansed from my sin each and every day. Well, no, you got to confess it first. No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't have to confess. I've been washed, I'm free from my sin. Amen? Amen. We taught this over the last several weeks. Okay, so go back and listen if you're a little fuzzy on it. Okay, now watch this. So Pastor Charlie, God's forgiveness in your life is not based upon you confessing it. No, it's not. But do I occasionally confess what I did?
Absolutely. But listen, under the old covenant or religion or bondage religion, Christianity religion mixture of law and grace, you have to confess, because if you don't confess, God's angry at you and God's turned his back on you and he doesn't want anything to do with you because you jacked up. And the only way you can get back right with God is you confess it. Then once you confess it, God's like, all right, we're good now. Come on over. Come on, I'm being serious. That doesn't even sound right when you say it that way. But that's not the reason I confess. The reason I confess is I love God so much. I jacked up, God, my bad. I love you, man. I didn't mean to offend you. It's no different than when you're married. You're like, baby, oh, sorry about that. I was just scratching my ear. I didn't think y'all men were going to say nothing. No, I didn't think anything. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying, though? You hear what I'm saying? That idea that I've got to do something to be forgiven is wrong. You are forgiven because you believe what he did 2,000 years ago. That's where it was all transferred. Your job is to believe what he did and to walk in that forgiveness. Remember, under the old covenant, God required. Under the new covenant, God provided. All you do is believe it and receive it. Boy, it's a freedom, man. It's a freedom. Pastor Charlie, if I get hit by a truck tomorrow, I mean I'm going to heaven even if I slip? Yep, you're going to heaven. But I wouldn't get hit by a truck tomorrow. Come on, amen? See, because your salvation or your ability to stay saved is not based upon what you do. It's based upon what you believe. Come on, did y'all hear that? Man, that's so good to me. It's so good to me. Perfect example of this is this right here. And I read this last week, so I'll belabor it. When he heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted the Gentiles repentance to what? Life. When you repent now, we repent to life. We repent to God. Not from sin, it's to something. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? Just want you to understand this. You have the gift of repentance. You have been given it. God says, here it is. You can have it. It's yours. How do you activate repentance in your life? You believe what he did 2,000 years ago. It's not based upon what you do. It's based upon what you believe. Amen? Man, it's freedom. Check this out. Talking about grace. You were saved by it. Look at this. For by what? Grace. You have been saved through faith. Check this out. When you have faith, grace flows over you. Now watch. Look at this. This is powerful if you'll understand it. It is hard to be sin conscious, self-conscious, and walk in faith. Some of you have a hard time walking in faith because your faith is based upon you. Listen to me, hear me close. Hope you grab what I'm trying to say. How can you walk around like this and be in faith? It's very hard. Because faith, Hebrews 11:6, faith is believing he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Y'all hear that? He is, and he is a rewarder. Listen to it. He is, and he is a rewarder. If your focus is your problems and all you do wrong and everything you jack up, how could you possibly then begin to think God rewards you? You can't. You won't think God will reward you for anything. Why? Because you jacked something up. And if you haven't yet, you will by today. Amen. You can't walk in faith. But now watch. When you're complete in him, and you know that you believe what he did 2,000 years ago, you can walk in faith every day. Why? It's not based upon me. Me is the problem. God got rid of me. I'm in Christ. Christ pleased God. So therefore, I believe he'll reward me because I believe what he did 2,000 years ago. I believe he'll bless me because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. He died to bless me. Oh, Pastor Charlie, but ain't you got problems? We ain't talking about my problems because God isn't even looking at them. God's working on them, don't get me wrong. But God isn't dealing with me based upon my issues. God's dealing with me based upon Christ and my standing in him. So I can walk in faith each and every day of my life. I can believe God can heal me, not because I prayed hard or because I ate organic. I eat organic, I eat chickens, cows, all those things that eat green things, I eat them. That's organic. I don't know why chickens aren't organic. They got organic chickens. Oh, I could go there. But how many of y'all hear what I'm saying? How many of y'all hear what I'm saying? When you recognize you are complete in him, then you can walk in faith every day of your life. Walk in faith. It's not based upon you. But Pastor Charlie, if I just don't worry about my sin and I don't worry about my failures, I'll never work on them. Okay, let's flip that around. You focusing on your sin and your failures, is that really helping you? It'll only lead you down the path of more and more failures and more defeat. At some point, you got to flip it around and say, whoa, time out. I'm going to focus on Christ. Think about it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto who? Jesus. Looking unto me? Looking unto my sin nature? Looking unto Jesus. Christ in me. Am I making sense, y'all? Yeah, send up a flare if you would. Y'all are awake. All right, just making sure. It's a holiday weekend. Want to make sure you're still here. All right, look at this. Being justified, this is Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace. By his grace. Look at this. Romans 5:17 says this. And I started out this series with this. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift, notice this, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You've been made righteous, y'all. You have received that gift. You have the, I mean, think about all the cool gifts you got. You have the gift of forgiveness of sins. You have the gift of forgiveness. You have the gift of righteousness. You have the gift of life. And all you got to do is believe for him. All you got to do is believe for him. Look at this. And the gift of righteousness, if you have the gift of grace, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you will reign in life through one. Your sinful nature? No. Through the one who? Jesus. You're in Christ. Come on, y'all getting it?
Yeah.
All right, look at this. So now, how does God see you? God sees you as complete, whole in him. This is what this verse means. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm sure you've heard it before. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. New creation. Behold, all old things have passed away. That's passed away. God's not dealing with you based upon that anymore. Behold, all things have become new. You're completely new in Christ. Completely new in him. Completely new. God's dealing with you based upon that. Say, well, Pastor Charlie, shouldn't I do something? You should believe. You should believe. Because by believing, you're made. By believing in faith, then you're made righteous.
Yes.
Come on, amen?
Amen.
How many of you are blessed?
Yes.
All right, some questions for you. Is the Holy Spirit convicting you?
No.
Is he convicting you of righteousness?
Yes.
Yeah. Is he convicting you of your sin? No, absolutely not. Are you righteous?
Yes.
How'd you get there? Believing what he did? Uh-huh. Are you whole?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are you forgiven?
Yes.
Do you have to do anything for it?
No.
Do you have to believe something, though?
Yes.
Believe what? What Jesus did? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's how God sees you. Are you blessed? All right, give the Lord a hand. I'm done. Praise God.